Welcome to the Fairest Love Podcast, where we share spiritual and practical ideas for how to live family life with a beautiful, self-sacrificing love. On this episode of the podcast, I interviewed Amanda, the founder and director of Alienated Grandparents Anonymous. She shares important information in regards to alienation, how it affects grandchildren, and where grandparents can find hope and healing when addressing their own children. Amanda, thank you so much for being on the Fairest Love Podcast today.
Well, thank you very much for having me and for offering this to grandparents to help with their grandchildren. Thank you.
Yes, so we'd love to just start off and talk about what are some of the common causes of family alienation, especially between the grandparents and their adult children.
It will be noticed as perhaps a form of jealousy. For example, if there is a what we call a toxic daughter-in-law, the one who is the controlling person, she may be jealous of any time or attention that her children give to the grandparent. She considers the time and attention is being taken away from her, and those are her own insecurities. Or the husband could be the alienator, and he in turn would be jealous of the time and attention taken away from him and given to grandparents, especially the, you know, the in-law grandparents. This is about power and control. So he wants to control his wife, and he's unhappy with the wife's time and attention that she pays to her own mom. He wants to be the focal point. But most frequently, there's no explanation giving as to why this cutoff has taken place. And they don't allow for dialogue. So your questions go unanswered. And that results in grandparents not being able to defend themselves. It usually occurs without justification or knowing what crime they committed. Grandparents are actually being treated like criminals by their own sons and daughters. And to complicate matters, they use the grandchildren as the pawns to punish the grandparents for perceived wrongs. So now grandparents are victims of a double alienation. They've been cut off from their adult child and from their grandchildren. This is all about power and control. And the controlling spouse or partner uses this control and his power to create a fear. It's a fear-based dynamic. It's a fear-based phenomenon internationally. And it is willful intimidation. I would like to explain one of the main dynamics here. I suppose most people are familiar with the term gaslighting, but technically it's called neuro-linguistic programming. It's a very subtle way, a form of manipulation, because they wish to control their victim. Over time, gaslighters' manipulation can grow even more potent and making it increasingly difficult for your son or daughter to see the truth. It's a Stockholm Syndrome situation. There's pathological lying. For example, day after day, month after month, year after year, your son might be hearing lies, delusional lies. This is a delusional disorder. So they're hearing lies about their parents, about the wife's parents. And when you hear this all the time and for years, the brain actually does form a pathway so that when your son hears her say, "Your mother," he automatically in his brain switches to, "My mother's crazy." And that's called neuro-linguistic programming.
And that's an interesting concept too, to remember. Can you please share with us how this grandparent alienation could be considered? This is on your website, elderly or child abuse. I think that's it's a very strong term, but when you're speaking about this gaslighting act as well, it reminds me of that. Can you explain that?
Sure. When I put AGA together 14 years ago, I did a lot of reading, and I chose the leading experts in the world on parental alienation syndrome, PAS. And each one of them agreed to work with me to define the characteristics of dynamics of grandparent alienation. And each of them has specifically stated that grandparent alienation is a severe form of child abuse, and it is a severe form of elder abuse. And if you'll just allow me a moment to quote two or three of our international experts to prove my statement, to validate my statement. Dr. Joshua Coleman states that small children often form attachments to their grandparents that are as significant, if not more significant, than those they form with their own parents. In many cases, grandparents, even those who were an intimate and involved part of their children's lives, are suddenly denied contact because of a conflict between the parent and the adult child, or the spouse of the adult child. Grandparents form a really important role in the life of a grandchild. Studies regarding this relationship show that the importance to a child's social and cognitive development and for their safety and security in the world. Depriving a child of this suddenly, taking this away from a child, is a severe form of child abuse. These grandparents have been a powerful, positive attachment figure to the child. If this attachment is taken away, it is traumatizing to the child and makes their world a less safe place. Charles Jamieson, the leading attorney in alienation in the USA, states that alienation is a form of emotional abuse. It harms the child in the short term, but it can also have long-term effects, including, but not limited to, depression, alcohol and drug abuse, low self-esteem, problems with trusting those in authority, and a cycle of alienation that extends to their own children when they become parents. I'd like to quote two more examples of this for you, Dr. Glenn Caddy. There's no question but that unless there is a legitimate reason to prevent the grandparents and children from enjoying a complete family life together, such as justification, maybe the true psychological pathology or physical abuse of the children by the grandparents. That the alienation of children from their loving grandparents by one or both parents is pathological and constitutes child abuse. This is simply because grandparents play an important role for the children in defining the depth and family and the support system of love inherent in the family, just as uncles and aunts and cousins contribute to the breadth of the family surrounding the support, love, and well-being of the children. These people are far more than friends. They are blood and they are love. And finally, Dr. Killinger, on elder abuse. Citizens would be angry with a neighbor they learned was keeping an elderly person locked up in a room in their home and limiting the food, water, and company that a person received. Yet, parents who prevent grandparents from seeing their own grandchildren, their flesh and blood, are seriously delimiting the joy, happiness, and well-being of the grandparents. Thank you for that time.
Yes, I think that's very powerful too to hear because I think we don't think enough about how important our grandparents are, and they have such a powerful example for us in all matters of life too, work, faith, There's a lot of different areas. What are some steps, some of the first steps a grandparent can take when they experience either the beginnings of kind of feeling this cut off, feeling this alienation, or if they're in the midst of it?
Those who experience grandparent cutoff are not allowed communication. They try very hard to make amends. They try very hard to make contact, but this has been denied by almost all of them. Should they eventually be given an opportunity to meet up, it's important that they be a good listener. Just be quiet and listen. You may not agree with everything they're saying, but they want to be listened to. They want to be heard. So when they ask for an apology, certainly apologize, make amends for what you're being accused of doing that you agree to. However, if they make claims that you are not guilty of, simply say, I'm sorry to hear you feel that way. But that was not my intention.
And how does Alienated Grandparents Anonymous, this organization that you direct, how does it support grandparents going through that separation?
We offer information and support. Studies show that the best form of help for complicated grief, which is grief without closure, because the children are still there, the grandchildren are still there. You're cut off. So, meeting in support groups, AGA support groups, with those who get it, where you don't have to validate everything you say constantly, as you would with your friends. If you have a friend who's willing to listen to you, there's just so much they can take of hearing this. But those in a support group get it. They're going through the same situation. Often grandparents just, they're so worried and upset because they think that their acquaintances are looking at them and saying, wow, what did they do wrong that they can't see their own grandchildren? And grandparents need to put the blame on the other side. So we do have support groups internationally and nationally, but since COVID, that number of in-person meetings has really declined, and Zoom meetings have mostly taken over. And because of that, each month I conduct a monthly Zoom support group meeting and a call-in, a national call-in for grandparents to share their stories, and I can help offer suggestions to them from the advice of our experts and from what I've learned from communicating with way over 15,000 grandparents over the past 14 years, probably double that. This is a global epidemic. And so I'll just mention that for the first number of years, that for about the first 8 years that I did this, and I was taking private phone calls and talking to grandparents, trying to give them so much information, but there's just so much you can say in a half hour or an hour conversation with them. So I took everything I had learned, and I from the experts and from communicating with grandparents, and wrote a book that can be purchased on Amazon. It's called I Thought I Was the Only One. That's what grandparents say. I thought I was the only one. And the subtitle is Grandparent Alienation, a Global Epidemic. If I had to make a guesstimate based on some studies that were done even 10 years ago, I would say that there are at least, and this is probably a very low number, there are at least 100 million grandparents in the world that are not allowed to see their grandchildren. Yeah, it's very, very devastating and very sad, and it upsets them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They've had these grandchildren either taken away from them blindsidedly. And this is when the grandchildren need to talk to their grandparents. They no longer have that safety net with their grandparents. So it's a terrible, terrible thing.
Yeah. I had asked already kind of how to start repairing that, or the steps to take to, for grandparents to take when they experience this alienation. Do you have any advice for grandparents that are looking to repair their relationships with their adult children?
I actually, in my book, I devote a long chapter to suggestions for reconciliation. But briefly, your adult children are the parents now. And so they make the rules and they control who and when their children spend time with. If you are lucky enough to be given a little bit of time, don't be greedy. Take what they offer, take any opportunity, never turn it down. In fact, the federal law that has been so had such a negative impact on grandparent visitation rights came out of Washington State. Troxell versus Granville. And what happened there when their adult child passed away, they were given a fair amount of visitation rights, but they wanted more and more and more, unreasonably more time with their grandchildren. And they became greedy. And so, on a very close decision, the Washington State Supreme Court denied them grandparent visitation rights. Yet, all of the other 49 states are basing the courts are basing their decision on Troxell versus Granville. On a lighter note, maybe about 5 or 6 or 7 years ago, I worked with an adult father who wanted visitation rights for his parents when there was a divorce. And there were three students from Harvard who wrote an amicus brief for him. And our attorney, James Carl, and myself worked on that case. And when it went to the Washington D State Supreme Court, we won the case.
Oh, wow. Wow. That is lighter. That's great. Amazing. Do you have So we or before the show we talked about this the difference between alienation and now I've forgotten the word we said
Estrangement.
estrangement. Yes, I
Yeah.
did from my mind. So are there other con like so the difference between alienation and estrangement, could you explain that to us? And then if there are any other misconceptions about alienation that you'd like to clarify?
Sure. They're used frequently back and forth, but the difference is that alienation refers to, in our situation, an adult child. Rejecting a parent that is not justified. There's no justification for it, right? Whereas estrangement is a breakdown in a relationship, but a conscious decision to distance yourself from someone due to a perceived harmful action or behavior. They choose to limit the contact because they're experiencing repeated abuse or neglect. That you find that in parental alienation syndrome, if they feel, if the parents are divorced, for instance, the one spouse might be speaking badly about the other, the other parent, and they may be programmed to believe that it's not safe for them to be with the mom or the dad. But if there is a real situation of an ab abuse or neglect, then a child or a teenager, say, can choose not to be with them. So we specifically are about alienation, and the real proper term would be cut off. Grandparents are cut off from access to time with their grandchildren, or severely limited time with their grandchildren.
And we spoke a little bit earlier in the midst of the conversation about child abuse, but are there any other impact? Is there any other impact on grandchildren that occurs when grandparents are alienated from them?
Yes, because of the role that grandparents play with the grandchildren. Most grandparents, they want help. So what do? They go to a therapist for consultation. And I just want to point something out, that grandparent alienation was never taught in the universities or the law schools. So grandparents have to be very careful what advice they take from a therapist, because they can do so much more harm than good for your situation. That's why I really encourage you to read the book, get a complete understanding of what this is about, and remember that knowledge is power, and the knowledge empowers you. I've conducted 2 international conferences, and with our professional experts, there were attorneys, law enforcement, legislators, PhDs in psychology, clergy, the top people on grandparent alienation, and we all of this information, is made available to you. And there's a beautiful chapter about grandparents and why it's so important to have grandparents in your life. They build a child's self-esteem. They're the safety net. They are there to assist the parents, especially when there's a trouble at home. Grandparents can keep a watchful eye on these children. If they're not allowed to keep a watchful eye on them, even see them once a month, you don't know what's happening. I mean, we've had some worst case scenarios in our country where children have been found 5, 6, 7 years later. They don't go to public schools. They said they don't have a pediatrician. They have no contact with the outside world. They have homeschooling, and then we find out there's been horrific abuse, horrific. And when I read into these stories, I find out the parents had been denied access for like 5 years. So grandparents help build self-esteem. They're very, very important. Play a very important role.
And how do you suggest that in the midst of all this, the alienation, the midst of, feeling kind of helpless in these situations, how do you suggest grandparents cope with these feelings, whether they believe it's their fault with guilt or regret related to this alienation?
Well, grandparents own the truth. No matter how they're being treated by their adult children, or even if they happen to see a grandchild, and the grandchild who loved them so much reacts in a very negative way toward them, that's a fear and flight reaction. The parents are there. They see they have to obey their parents' wishes and go along with the parents, because they go home to that house and they live with the parents. There'll be a penalty to pay if they don't behave accordingly with their parents' wishes. Coping with all of this, understand you own the truth, and try to live your life as though alienation were not taking place. What would you do if these grandchildren were now teenagers and off to college, and you would not be having all of those precious times together? What would you be doing then? What kind of activities would you become involved in? What kind of friendships would you create to make your golden years more enjoyable? And so they should be doing that now. Think about it this way. if the children did know their grandparents, if they had bonded with them, they would not want the grandparents to be devastated and upset 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They wouldn't want that for you. So, in turn, we don't want our grandchildren to be upset by this every day of their life. We don't want that. But there are things that you can do. I thoroughly explain it in my book. Techniques and strategies and forming plans of what can be done. And because we have hundreds and hundreds of success stories where before there were none, I highly recommend you take the time to empower yourself with this knowledge. But it's just really important to live your life. You don't want to get to the last few years of your life and say, I wasted it. Because you don't get a redo. So, bottom line, this is what I suggest. Take about 20 minutes, the same time each day, maybe 4 o'clock, say every day, and go to your special place. Do whatever you have to do to release all of that anxiety and all of the sadness. If you have to cry, cry. If you have to bang on the table, do that. If you have to write your feelings down, and you should all be keeping journals, by the way, for your grandchildren of your thoughts and feelings and things you want them to know. Spend those 20 minutes each day just taking all of that out instead of so that you can program yourself every time you feel yourself falling apart. You know, there's so many triggers out there that will just hurt you so deeply. Say, okay, I have to stop. It's not 4 o'clock yet. At 4 o'clock, I will emote. And then, when those 20 minutes are finished, have some activity to switch to that is planned so that you can take your mind off of this and move into a more positive direction.
Great. That's great advice. You mentioned your book, and we'll definitely include that in the show notes. Is there anything else that where our grandparents can seek these resources for help?
You can do your research, but AGA is the leading organization in the world on grandparent alienation. And so read as much as you can, join my Zoom meetings, join my call-ins, and all of that information. It's not on my website, but once you sign up with us through our email, then you will be receive a newsletter. 4 times a year, it's written quarterly, and it gives the dates and times of our support group meetings and our Zoom meetings and information on the dynamics of grandparent alienation, things that you should know. And so our newsletters are really important help for you. The information, our website is just www, Alienated Grandparents Anonymous, and our email is AGA International Headquarters at gmail.com. AGA, which means Alienated Grandparents Anonymous, International Headquarters at gmail.com. And I am the one who receives the email so that I will then immediately send a lot of very helpful information and documents to you.
Perfect. That's so helpful. Thank you so much, Amanda, for sharing this incredible work that you do and helping grandparents. And we really, really appreciate your time on the show today.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing awareness. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Ferris Love Podcast. In 2024, we want to reach as many people as possible. You can help by sharing this episode with a friend, subscribing to the podcast, or leaving a review. To learn more, visit us at ferrislovshrine.org.